Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 346, the box office report for the week ending January 14th, 2018.
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. You two office. In a row. You are lucky, lucky people.
Are they? Look, to Kevin, they are. Kevin's excited.
They're listening.
That's
so
true.
They must have wanted to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Regardless of how small the number is, the people listening should
clamoring for a box office report.
I don't know if it's enough total people to be considered a clamor.
A smattering?
Yeah.
No maraca?
A moderate.
Well, you said smattering. You didn't say splattering.
That's true. I didn't say it.
To me. I will do that.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
No, you have to. You go last.
This is Dan.
Since you're a guest, you go last.
Oh
wow!
Dang!
Holy!
you just got blaked.
Oh!
No, he shows. Never mind.
No, that this is good. Yeah. Cancel my monthly.
Your month. Never mind. This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just some quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We have a new review.
Hey.
How about that? And I must be getting old. iTunes is getting harder and harder for me to read.
It's not you.
Yeah, it's you.
Yeah. It's the gray font on a white background.
It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, here we go. This says, Real Spoilers is real fun.
We're off to a really great start.
Well, then they immediately walk it back. Forgive the pun in the title.
All right. Fair enough.
Just having some fun because I thoroughly enjoy listening to this podcast week to week and look forward to every new episode, regardless if I like the movie or not. I even try to stay in the know as to what the movie of the week will be so I can be ahead of the game and feel like part of the conversation. The chemistry between the guys is apparent, and they all feed off of each other incredibly well when they get into dissecting both good and bad movies, and the latter is often the most fun to listen to.
We get that a lot.
I like seeing a good bad movie.
Yeah, I like seeing a good bad movie that you can actually.
I agree.
Yes,
like I will say, I think,
and I love bad movies.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's some.
But there's movies that are bad, and you can't say anything about it.
There's some movies that are bad just because they're boring.
Yeah. Some are mediocre.
Like A Wrath of the Titans or something.
What is there to say about
that? Is that bad? I know it was bad, yeah. But, like, was it bad?
It was just boring.
Oh, it was boring.
Yeah.
It was guilty of being boring.
It's worse because you can't even make fun of it and be entertained. It's just boring.
Yeah. It's like, and for what they spent on that movie, it's like, man, like, I would rather rewatch Beastmaster.
Yeah.
You know,
apparently
because
so
at least
somebody on the show spoilers.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like that's quality bad movie.
That is. It was with the greatest knockoff Frank Frazetta.
Oh yeah,
like artwork. Yeah.
I mean, you're never gonna find another movie that features a ferret so prominently.
You're true. That's very true. I never thought
you
about
look
that.
At that poster and you're like, Did Fiverr exist in the 80s? How did they get this made? Yeah. So just to finish up the nice iTunes review, the interactions are great with the fans and the community they've built, and I couldn't be happier to be part of it. 342 episodes already. This has been up here for a while. Here's to many more, at least four.
Yeah.
I'll be listening. So thank you. This is from Baby Buffet 2018.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yes.
Wow. That's got to be Brad. That has to be Brad.
We'll never know. We'll
so
never
know. So thank you, Baby Buffet.
2018. We don't want to confuse them with the others.
Right. There's a lot of baby buffets because it's all you can eat.
It's all you can eat.
It's all you can eat. Yep.
Is the Baraka rusty over there? Or?
No. I'm just go. It's just like...
We jokingly said that,
I think Baby Buffet 2017 was obviously Aronofsky, so...
Yeah. It was right. Aronofsky. Yeah. Aronofsky sent us the review.
Yeah.
He's got nothing else going on.
He sent us a copy of the film. Please review this work.
We did review it.
Oh, man. Have you been to the Baby Buffet, though? It's delicious. It's... Mm-hmm. You know, its motto is, come for the baby, stay for the placenta.
Oh... That's a Baraka word.
I will
please.
Get us a Baraka.
I jokingly said that Dan was off training. Like, I feel like Dan had Marakas that had weights on them. So when he came back to his traditional Baraka, it was much easier to swing.
Yeah, in between episodes, he swings two Marakas in the on-deck circle.
You should see. It was like my whole montage.
The big old hearts on fire in the snow.
No.
Do you guys remember Punch-Out on NES?
Of course.
Little Mac in the pink sweater pulling the trainer on the bicycle.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's Dan with a maraca attached to like a cord to the bicycle on either hand. And he's just pulling past the Statue of Liberty. And
he has to go fight.
We've discussed this. It's gonna be Eye of the Tiger. It's not gonna be Hearts on Fire.
Fair. That's fair. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Eye of the Tiger is a better song.
He's a purist.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom and I like cap out on some of the. I think that's where we.
No, four. Yeah, four.
That's
is
where the love hearts.
Wait, dude, what do you think about three?
I like three. Three is definitely more like
it's a cartoon.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
One and two are actually good films.
Yes. Yeah.
Three is a cartoon.
Four is. Better film.
So three is a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Four is a weekday afternoon cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Four. No, wait a minute. Animaniacs is a weekday.
Four is a syndicated.
Before. You got to remember from our world.
Fair enough.
Weekday afternoon cartoons. We didn't have Animaniacs.
Yeah.
No. Animaniacs came out when we were in college.
Right. Yeah.
They're bringing it back.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But to Joe and I, Rocky IV is
Rocky
Animaniacs.
Four. Yeah. Well, so what's five? Sunday afternoon.
It's just sad.
It's
kind of sad.
Pile of crap.
A mistake. Yeah.
And then they go back to six, and you're just like,
Five is the placenta.
Five
is the placenta.
And then six is good.
Six is good.
And seven is great.
And Creed is...
Seven is fantastic.
Yeah.
Is he fighting
Drago?
Six is more like Rocky II.
Yes.
Like Rocky One is a good film.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rocky Two is a good movie.
I would say a great movie.
But it just kind of like it does a lot of what it does kind of regurgitates Rocky
That's
One.
That's fair.
It does it well, but it regurgitates it. Right?
It's kind of the Evil Dead 2 of the Rocky franchise.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Okay. It's almost a remake of itself.
Actually,
I think
Evil Dead 2 is better. Than Evil Dead
Well, it
1.
Should be because but it's what they did when they had money and skill, you know, more skills.
From
and
a technical standpoint, it is absolutely better. Yeah. But it's the same movie.
And then I guess he's fighting. I don't know if he's fighting Drago's kid or
That's
Drago.
That's the rumor. That's what it. I don't think he can fight Drago.
That should be
Drago.
No, he has to fight Drago because Drago killed his dad. He's got to fight Drago.
Do boxers fight when they're 70?
Dolph Lundgren doesn't look like he's seven.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, he's up there with the Stallones and, you know, the old action.
But he's also probably got like a foot and a half on
him.
That should be.
I know. I've never heard of boxers fighting that old, but maybe.
I don't know how old, maybe not 70, but I mean, I feel like.
It goes against the rules of the franchise because, as we know in this universe, boxers don't have an old timer's day.
That's right.
They've made that very clear.
Just playing by the rules.
I mean, I feel like Foreman fought until his 60s. Maybe. Am I making that up?
No, he fought pretty old.
He fought pretty old.
He fought pretty old.
He won a title. Like pretty old,
yeah.
They was hand picked, Foreman.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
he still won a title.
They was hand picked, Rock.
You're fighting bums, Rock.
So
George Foreman was 45
when he won a title. When he won a title,
Yeah.
How old was he in his last fight?
Yeah, that's the question.
Oh, okay. So he was the oldest to ever win the championship. He retired. His last fight was in 1997. So if he was 45 and 94, 48.
I thought he was older than that.
I thought he was too. Yeah. But maybe that's just the way his face looked from getting pummeled for
not quite 60. All right. That's all.
He tripped and fell on a grill.
Yeah. His protective outer shell had overgrown at that point. And he seemed much older.
And he has like 17 sons, all named George.
And a daughter.
And a daughter named Georgina.
No. Yeah. Oh, is it?
I think it is. George. Like Georgina. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So Dolph Lundgren is 60. So he could do it,
and it comes
60.
Out next year.
Is Dolph Lundgren still in any sort of shape?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's in those Expendables movies.
Oh, that's
I mean,
yeah.
He looks like a...
I felt like I had seen him recently, but I couldn't remember
yeah.
where.
Yeah. Now he is.
He was the, like, recently, he was the coach of the Olympic kickboxing team.
Really?
The U.S.
Like,
Olympic.
For real?
He
for
still
real.
Looks exactly like Dolph Lundgren.
He just looks like he does. Just a little
he looks
older.
Like, he looks
yeah.
like Dolph Lundgren's
You can
dad.
Double check, but he went to MIT.
He looks like he's I think he's a certifiable.
He's really
certifiable.
Crazy man, but I almost positive he's a genius.
Really, yeah,
you forgot this masterpiece he came out with.
Garden Cop 2.
Wow, I didn't know
that's not a joke.
Yeah, no, that's a real thing. It was. I don't know why, but it is.
That's the movie.
That picture you showed me of Dolph Lundgren. It looked like if Dolph Lundgren was doing a Lipitor commercial.
That first one.
It's next. Yeah. It's him and Wilford Brimley talking about diabetes.
Diabetes.
I don't think Wilford Brimley is going to be talking about that anymore, buddy. Rest in peace, Wilford Brimley.
There goes our Cocoon 3.
Yeah, dang it.
Yeah, that's a movie that they just should have left.
Yes.
Cocoon?
One.
The
first one.
First one's a good movie.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Nice little movie.
You know what's crazy? Just talking about Wilford Brimley and those commercials, though, is like how things like that will stick with you. Like, I will never forget... like what those commercials looked like, what he said, like, I check my blood sugar and I check it often. Like that, I haven't seen that in 15 years. I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just, so many things like that from when we were
on?
Kids.
Was it Hill Street Blues? No.
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 No. I don't remember.
It's not in the heat of the night. I feel like it was like one of those, like Matlock and...
I don't remember.
I don't remember him being on...
I thought he was like a sheriff on some show.
I remember
him
in roles.
They just came out with a website called imdb.com.
I'm glad you're on it.
I have looked it up. So he was Dr. Blair in The Thing. He was Uncle Duvet in The Hard Target.
Nope. The Hard Target starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. The American directorial debut of John Woo.
Yeah, there you go. He was William Dev... in The Firm. He was Ben Luckett in Cocoon. He was the pastor in I Believe. He was Hawk Jones in Timber the Treasure Dog.
That
had to read the poster
what I
there.
Was thinking of
no, Mask Maker in Mask. He was Earl Granger in Did You Hear About the Morgans?
He was in the Jim Carrey Mask movie.
No, I think that's the
Masqua for you.
Oh,
just
I got
gotcha.
You. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Phonetically.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the Eric Stoltz.
No. It was Masque.
Okay.
Masque. for you.
The hoity-toity version.
Yeah. And he was Coach Weaver and pitcher.
Okay.
And pinup.
I don't know why I thought I picture him in like as like a.
Those are his
cause
top.
Because he looks like an old-timey
that's
sheriff.
True. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I don't have a death date on here.
I didn't think he was dead.
I think he's dead.
Yeah. I really.
He's got that diabetes.
I think he
under
retired and opened up a mustache ride rodeo.
Shake that at yourself, old man.
What's wrong with that? He's got an epic mustache.
No, that's fantastic. He's 83.
Him and Sam Neill.
He's 83. I swear that there was like one of those internet like an article saying he had died a year or so ago. No, I'm glad he's still alive, Craig.
Yeah, good. More Wilford Brimley.
Congratulations on not being dead after all.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Wilford Brimley.
From us here at Real Spoilers to you, Wilford
Brimley. Yeah, we would never wish that upon him.
Congratulations on not being dead.
So we're still technically doing shameless plugs.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
forget, you can share the show. You can join the League of Show Sharers. Just pick the most recent episode and share it. You can also join the show sharer group.
Like Wilford Brimley.
Like I don't think Wilford Brimley has shared the show.
I don't think Wilford Brimley knows what a podcast is.
No. People who are kind enough to share the show this week: Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brad Hyen, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Musings of a Cosplay Witch.
Oh, thank
Witch.
Goodness.
Yes.
Now, I thought that was going to be a Halloween thing, and it just never went back. You know, like she had changed the name a few times, then it was right around Halloween.
Yeah.
So I guess she's a 365 witch.
I guess she is.
Or she's 365 cosplay.
Well, that's certainly.
I think if you're cosplaying 365, that's just what you wear.
I think that's true.
You're not cosplaying anymore. Right. Just,
yeah,
that's just,
your
style.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Would like dressing in business clothes to go to work be your cosplay?
She goes to Wizard World in a suit and tie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That throws people all off.
Yeah.
I don't know what's
She's
going
like,
on.
I dress up like a witch all day long. I come here to let my hair up. Chris James, Griffin Fox Smith, Brent Smith, no relation, Chris Sanders, Lane Levanway, Jason Weese, Richard Lawson, and our show sharer of the week.
Oh.
Librarian Cynthia, who took time out of her busy schedule during a nuclear holocaust.
Oh my God.
To share the show.
I'm glad she's okay.
What an insane. Somebody lost their job.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Don't
worry. There's
how do I turn the screensaver on?
There's a ballistic missile headed your way. Take cover.
Maybe, put a lock on that button. Yeah.
Are you sure you want to?
Why is there only one button? Yeah.
That's also
like,
a great
point. That's the thing. That can't be true. Because those crazy sorts of things you would need to send, there's a ballistic missile.
Right.
There's
details.
Two people.
They both have keys. They have to turn them at the same time.
Three, two, one.
And it's like, wait, on one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are we doing like 3, 2, 1, go? Or
go. On go.
They have all that stuff figured out.
Yeah.
But they,
I wonder if they got hacked and it's a cover-up.
You don't know what you're going to type.
Maybe
right.
They don't
That's
want
also
to
true.
Admit
you know?
That they got yeah. hacked or something.
Yeah.
It could be a... one of those cases where they're like, oh, it was an accident because they don't want people going, oh, the national something
right.
something got hacked.
I did reach out to Librarian Cynthia and yeah. I was like, how crazy was it? And she said,
did she say, shh?
Yeah, because she's a librarian.
Right, yeah.
Anyway. She's a cool librarian.
Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah. But she's at work.
Still
so
keep it down.
She doesn't.
keep it
and cheap. You're overdue.
Right. It's better than being early.
Mm.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's fair.
You'd rather take too long than be premature, right?
Yes. Am I right? Nope. Oh, but that.
Are we just saving them up from the weeks when Dan
yeah.
was gone?
I'm just trying to get a lot of usage out of that Moroccan. Yeah. That thing cost me like $7.
Dan has worked so hard on his tri and biceps that we don't want those to go to waste.
Yeah.
So I asked her, how crazy was it?
Yeah.
And she says, everybody in Hawaii knows that I guess that this is a thing. Like, you don't think about it, but I guess since they're so close.
Oh, they're the ones that are going to get hit.
They're the ones that are most likely to get hit. So, like, it's always been top of mind. It's probably extra top of mind.
Right.
Let's
now.
Say, oh, the last 360 days or so. No reason.
I don't know why.
And so she says that everybody knows that there's sirens that go off.
Okay.
And so she's like, so when I got the text and no siren, I was like, well, that's not real.
Oh.
So she was like immediately dismissive.
Oh, that's good that at least there you would hear
but
a siren.
But apparently not everybody was sure. immediately
yeah,
dismissive.
Yeah, there's pictures of people like stuffing kids down storm drains.
The worst part of it, though, is honestly the kids.
For
that,
later.
You're right.
But seriously, when you think about like the kids who had to live through that and now could be traumatized and thinking like their parents are frantically trying to get their lives are in danger. And what a nightmare situation.
You know,
it's one of those stories.
Are we talking about the last 360 days or the?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the
Sorry.
Alert.
So,
oh,
okay.
As the older two people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Pussies. This was our entire childhood.
No,
fear of nuclear annihilation.
Oh, yeah. I did the same thing.
Yeah, we had a little something called the day after that was
right.
like mandatory watching.
Right.
Right.
And when you're a kid, you're like, ooh, we got to watch something
for
homework. Yay! And then watch it, and you're like, ugh.
When the day after was over, there was like a round table about the day after.
What's
that
the day after?
What's the day after?
Watch that.
Do you not know what it is either?
Is it a film or is it like a documentary?
It was a made-for-TV movie.
ABC movie.
About if America got hit by a nuclear weapon. But like a serious, this is what it would be like kind of a movie. Yeah. Not Jericho,
Was Charlton Heston in it?
Yeah, I'll say, was it like
I liked Jericho.
For a little bit.
What was that movie?
That overstayed his welcome.
I was just saying, damn
that's
you.
No. He was in a movie that was post-nuclear war.
Who was?
Heston.
Yeah.
The Omega Man.
Omega
the
Apes.
Omega Man. That's what it is.
Spoilers.
It's
part of the trilogy of post-apocalyptic Heston movies.
Oh,
Omega Man's a remake.
Omega Man, Soylent Green, and Planet of the Apes.
Omega Man is a remake of The Last Man on Earth.
Yes.
And then
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend is
all goes back to the Richard Matheson
backstory. Isn't there a Vincent Price version?
Yeah,
too?
The Last Man on Earth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's the original movie.
What's it called? The Day After?
It's called The Day After. Oh. Was it a two-parter or just one?
It felt like it. Yeah. I think it was a two-parter. Or
and then there was an art house kind of version of it called, I think, The Tempest.
Oh.
I'm also
Isn't that a... That's a book.
Let me go further.
Well, there's a Shakespeare.
So just to correct, because I was looking this up the other night because I was reading about one of the movies that we were talking about. So I Am Legend is the book. And then The Last Man Earth is the adaptation of I Am Legend.
Right. Yeah.
So I Am Legend is actually the original
book title. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Were all those written by Richard Matheson?
It's all based on his book.
I mean, isn't Soylent Green a Richard Matheson book?
So Richard Matheson was best known for I Am Legend and then Somewhere in Time. And
isn't that what The Time Machine is based on?
No.
I'm kidding.
No. Okay.
Well, if you believe in time travel, then yes.
The Shrinking Man and A Stir of Echoes. Okay.
So The Shrinking Man is also a Vincent Price movie. And Stir of Echoes is that weird
Kevin Bacon movie.
Yeah. That's the one that came out the same time.
As Frailty.
And The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. They all got swallowed up.
Yeah.
Stir of Echoes is a good movie. I like that a lot.
It's funny. There's people who hate that movie and people who find it
those people
enjoyable.
I never thought it was bad. I remember seeing it.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
There was a direct-to-video or there is a sequel.
Stir of Echoes 2.
No. Yeah.
Of some sort.
More Echoes?
More Echoes, yeah.
It's called Stir of Echoes. Echoes.
Yeah. Just kept going. We got it.
Echoes.
I got it.
Okay. Echoes.
All right.
anyway, your homework is...
The acoustics are amazing in here.
Well, what about that It's the End of the Effing World on Netflix? I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's amazing. Is that about... Do we know what causes the end of the world, or is that a...
I don't know.
It just released on Netflix. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, so. I've heard good things.
But it is an end of the world type thing, which I like those. I mean, I love movies like Omega Man, I Am Legend, the post-apocalyptic stuff. I was disappointed.
I Am Legend is not a good movie.
Oh, I like it. I really enjoy those type of movies.
I think that's the last Will Smith action blockbuster.
Well, either way. So I was disappointed with The Last Man on Earth. Like, I really thought I would like that. And I like those two. But, you know, did you ever watch that?
I have not.
Will Forte. I don't know.
I was like, you didn't. I was thinking of the Vincent Price movie again.
No. I think that's what it's called on Fox.
Last Man on Earth.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't dig it. But
I don't like Will Forte. I don't think Will Forte is funny at all.
I love
Will
Forte.
Yeah, I think he's funny.
Oh, like man, I can't. Yeah, okay. No, not for me.
So, well, anyway, that's your shameless plugs. I think at this point we should probably turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and this is a four-day weekend, so we're going to get into one of those weird number-y type guesstimates here. So we'll do the best that we can with what we have, but easily number
one. Why start now?
Right? Number one at the box office, though, easily is Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. So we talked about that one last week and how much money it's made in its first 3 weeks. Well, it made another $32 million, which is a 14% drop.
I'm surprised The Commuter wasn't number one.
Are you?
Nope.
We'll get into that. But $288 million domestic for Jumanji, another almost $300 million overseas. So we're approaching the $600 million mark for Jumanji in 4 weeks.
He was supposed to be on Raw Monday night. No, next Monday night because it's the 25th anniversary. And then something happened. Like I guess he's filming something. And he was like, never mind.
It's and a pretty sure bet he's filming something.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure Vince is like, God, all right.
Yeah, that's a ratings bump and a half.
He is a ratings machine for sure.
Absolutely. So, and a box office machine as well. And that's why he's, I guess, I don't know if there's a number in for 2017, but at least the last highest paid actor, he was,
I think it was
number
him.
One on the list.
No, it was, like, was I don't know highest paid or highest grossing?
No, it paid.
Because highest grossing was Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I don't know, but he's the highest paid.
I believe it.
So I don't know if that was 2016 numbers.
Wait.
How could Vin Diesel be a higher grossing actor than The Rock?
I think you're going based on the grosses of the movies that they're in. But
yes.
But Diesel's not.
But
they're in the same movie.
But they're in the same movie, so they should both get the same credit for that movie.
And then Guardians 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're counting that? Yeah. Oh, that,
no, Forbes did. I didn't count
has
it.
Has
like
to.
That.
That's sketchy.
It's sketchy, but that's sketchy.
That's a way for Vin Diesel to slip some hundos to them, be like, hey, make me on a higher list than The Rock.
Hey, Vin Diesel, congratulations on your publicist. You said three words.
They are earning their keep.
He's also the, you know, he could be like, he's the more animated because how many things has he been a voice in?
Two, right? So the Iron Giant and Guardians?
Okay, so he's got two more than... Yeah. He's got one more than...
Than Rock.
Yeah. The Rock.
Yeah.
I...
Whatever.
Well, so, no, because he's got... He was in Rock Dog.
Who was in Rock Dog?
Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, no.
I'm sure he wasn't. Head.
No, he was.
That's probably why he did it.
He's
Rock Dog.
There we go.
Oh, I thought you actually knew.
No.
Echoes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're still coming around.
They're still coming around. It's crazy.
So you need to get some like soundproof walls here.
This drop ceiling, it's all acoustic tiles.
That's good.
Oh, good. So anyway, good for Jumanji, almost $600 million and still growing. Number two, The Post. So this came out, was that Christmas-wide release for that one, I think?
I don't think so. No, I think it just opened wide this weekend.
Wide this weekend, okay. Yeah. So it had been out there.
To qualify for awards, but it opened wide this
weekend. Okay, so this is the wide release of it. The Post made $20 million, and yes, I see there's a huge boost here, so it's 1,000%. Increase. So 2,800 screens showing this one and $24 million domestic. So it had made about four to five before this, not released overseas. So it's an Oscar.
AKA like, directed by Steven Spielberg. The one for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did anybody see this?
Yes.
And?
I enjoyed it. It's a little dry in spots.
It looked a little dry.
But it's an interesting story.
What's it about?
Don't know, about the Washington Post and their fight to release the Pentagon Papers.
Got it. Okay.
And you know, there was, you know, the government was trying to shut it down and they got an injunction against the Times. And so then the Post did it anyway. And I didn't realize that there was a time when the Washington Post wasn't the Washington Post.
Oh.
And this is kind of what kind of pushed them to become a national paper. I just always assumed you had the Times in New York,
right?
And then Washington would have its own version of that, and it would be the Washington Post. It made perfect sense to me,
right, yeah.
And because honestly, I'm 47, so this story takes place when I was probably like two.
Okay.
So in my
it's always been that way.
Yeah. So I honestly didn't realize that there was a time when they were kind of an also ran.
It's like we had multiple papers here too. Like there was the Post,
and the Globe,
and I think there was a
short-lived tabloid style, like in terms of content so much, but in terms of literally, it's the way
format,
it looked.
The format
called the St. Louis Sun.
That's what it was. Yeah.
That was for a little while.
Globe
in the
Democrat.
80s.
I think is what it was.
What's that?
Well, it was called the Globe
Post
Democrat.
Dispatch and the Globe Democrat.
Yeah. The Post Dispatch and the Globe Democrat were competitors for years, and the Post was the afternoon paper and the Globe was the morning paper.
Right. Isn't that weird? Like, that is weird to me. But I guess when there's no news,
when there's no internet,
no internet.
Right, that's true.
And so if something happened during the day, and lots of people, I know when I was growing up, we got both papers. We got the Globe and the Post, and the Globe had better cartoons.
Oh,
And the Globe, if memory serves, was. I think the Globe was the conservative paper, and the Post Dispatch was the liberal paper.
Okay,
like
Democrat was the
You see that a lot. That's not uncommon.
Okay,
for those names don't really correlate.
they still don't.
Yeah. And then the Globe went away. The Post bought it out, and then the Post flipped to being a morning paper, and then basically cherry picked all
everything
their cartoons.
Wanted. And all the good stuff.
This happened when I was a kid, you can tell. I'm really focused on what the cartoons were.
Yeah.
What was your favorite strip?
When I was little, I liked Ziggy.
It was Superman.
I was little. Cut me some slack.
I'm not judging. I'm trying.
You were totally judging.
I was.
Your face was absolutely judging.
I was just like, all
right. He was a lot younger than you. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, for me, I was like.
But Peanuts.
Oh, man. Right on.
Yeah. I mean,
later. I was like, I don't know, Bloom County.
Bloom County is still great.
Farside and
Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, now I'm talking
Calvin
about
Hobbes.
Yeah.
But then there was one that was, I can't remember the name of it, really liked.
Mallard Fillmore.
No.
You know this,
Garfield.
Yeah. Hagar. No. No.
Oh, nobody liked Hagar.
You know, I was talking when
the
I
Wizard
was a like, little
Id.
Kid. You know, like, obviously, yeah. when Bloom County hit,
oh,
that
man.
Was kind of a revolution.
There was a resurgence in, of
that was like an adult
page.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
And not in a sexy
There's
way.
A lot of, oh, man. And it's just, everything took forever.
I like
you
Dilbert.
Know? It's like, oh, Flash Gordon, this would be fun. It's like, oh.
Oh, my God. Like, trying to read a Superman, Batman, or Spider-Man strip.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you got three panels.
Well, because they were three panels, and panel one was what happened yesterday.
Right. Yes.
Panel two was what happened today, and then panel three was
Coming
a preview
soon.
Of what was going to happen tomorrow.
Wow.
And you're just like, well, oh, my God.
It literally took a week for Spider-Man to swing across town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, get there.
It took Spider-Man a week to figure out that his Spidey sense was going off.
Yeah. Like, it was brutal.
That's strange. Tomorrow.
Oh, well. Yeah. You know, that's a strip. That's a property that I'm surprised Calvin and Hobbes. That has never.
He won't.
Watch
oh,
Dear
is that
Mr.
the deal?
Watch Dear Mr. Watterson.
Yeah, he won't.
Oh.
There's never been a T-shirt, stuffed animal.
Oh, he's never merchandised anything?
He refuses.
Watch, oh, wow. Watch Dear Mr. Watterson. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Sure, when he dies.
We're gonna I don't see. Know. I bet. Well,
I mean, there's
say,
a lot of fan-made stuff.
Sure.
I don't.
I've
oh,
got,
there's great Star Wars
yeah,
fan-made.
I, mean,
oh,
I have some.
There's a, there's a guy.
They don't go
away. Han and Chewie.
There's an artist. That does Star Wars stuff in the vein, like
in the
Bill
Calvin
Larson
and
Hunt, style,
yeah.
and they are hilarious.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, like I have like a huge, like
oh.
three massive volumes of the. It's everything.
The
it's
complete.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful. If it's expensive.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful set.
Oh, you should have. They were all on Kindle. They had all of those books on Kindle for like $1.99.
He likes the physical stuff.
I also
though.
Do. Like yeah. I don't. I'm actually starting to buy stuff digitally. Like stuff, so James Bond has a comic book. And I'm like, I don't need the single issues
yeah.
of James Bond, so I can read
until
them
the movie gets made from it. And you're wishing you
it's
had
funny.
Number one.
Spath sent me a link of all of the Venom comics that are starting to skyrocket, and I was like, I should probably start looking and see what I yeah. have laying around.
Did you see the first picture of Eddie Brock.
You mean Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, yeah, I was like, when, is Eddie Brock at the craft table?
Here's a tip to save you over the course of your life, at least. 8 months.
Yeah.
Whenever you see a headline that says the first pick from,
right.
ignore
yeah.
it.
Don't bother.
Right. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they did release. I think somebody did like a 3D model of what, like the symbiote would look like, and it looked pretty cool. Like it was the traditional.
We'll see.
Todd McFarlane kind of like big jaw and
yeah.
big sharp
yeah.
teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
So it's Jay Leno.
Yeah. Just eating souls.
Yeah.
That, yes. Well, that
yeah,
was
right,
Jay Leno.
Right.
And buying cars.
Yes.
So the Post opening wide, and it is at $24 million domestic. And interesting, I guess the big thing is that it's not getting a lot of awards attention where everyone thought it was a shoe-in for awards, but it's.
I think because it's kind of, even though it's a true story, it's obviously kind of a
political statement.
A take on what's going on currently
yeah.
in terms of. A sitting president trying to quash the media,
yeah.
and so I
don't
think,
doesn't Hollywood love that though? I mean, this is a
they do, but I just think it's not quite good enough.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie.
It's not Spotlight
by any stretch of the imagination, mm-hmm. but it's just not quite good enough.
Gotcha. So,
I feel like you have to have some substance to a like. I just rewatched Spotlight, and like that is who man.
Well, that
yeah.
one,
like,
that one also kind of
movie.
Snuck up on a lot of people.
It
yeah.
did, but it also, like, it's more about...
We're going to leave that one there. but, I mean, it did, because when it, you know, a lot of people had no
yeah.
recollection of that, and it was an amazing movie.
But that felt more like they were working, like, you're working that case with them, you're
right.
working through that story with them,
uh-huh.
where I feel like the Post maybe doesn't do that.
No, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. You're
with it the whole time?
Yeah, because they're trying to, like, to get the papers and find out what are in the papers. And
I gotcha.
Yeah, so it's, you know.
It's fascinating. I saw it, and I thought at first when I heard what the subject was, I mean, I thought, oh, it's probably going to be a good movie, but it's going to be boring. Like, this is going to be very eat your vegetables, you know. And I thought I was with them. I was,
yeah.
I was very, you know, I was very fascinated. I wasn't like, oh, come on. Like you do find it very interesting, and especially being based on a true story. So I would suggest seeing it. It's very good.
I've always, like, I think when I was old enough to appreciate All the President's Men, like, that kind of ignited a love for the newspaper movie reporter movie.
This is really a prequel.
Yeah. So I'm in. Like, I definitely want to see it. I just didn't, you know.
I think a lot of movies like this, especially at this time of year, people are looking at them. Are they theater worthy? And I think this is one of those movies that's like, fair. Does it really require you to go to the big screen?
Right? Yeah.
It's not a big experience.
You know, you've got, you know, depending on what the climate is, and I mean the physical climate is like, sure. Like, man, it's like 12 out there. I don't
what's on Netflix later?
Yeah. You know, right, exactly.
And I think this is one of those movies that's like, it doesn't really demand that you have the big screen experience.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
And it's just unfortunate. There was a time when it'd be like, well, this is Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep.
Right. Yeah, that's some high caliber.
But it's also 12.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think 10 years ago, this movie might have cleaned up.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I think another problem the movie has is that it doesn't really have, like, a clear-cut villain.
Well, wouldn't the government be the villain?
Yeah, but the government is kind of...
the government always the villain?
But the government's an abstract concept. You know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily have...
You don't have a competing papers guy like twirling his mustache.
Right,
we're gonna take out the Post.
You know, and so it doesn't have that kind of like that rush of like we're gonna beat this guy even though they kind of win at the end, you don't have that moment of seeing the villain with cuffs getting taken away. Like it doesn't have that kind of rousing cheer.
Yeah. Look, I gotta tell you, Spotlight doesn't either. Like the end of Spotlight, I mean they hit him with the accusations and the lawsuits, but there's no real, like, I feel like that movie ends with them just moving on to the next story.
Oh, but there's a clear-cut villain in Spotlight.
Absolutely there is. Like, that is, I mean, and it's the entire,
But
I mean, like, at the end of that movie, you don't really get any resolution.
No.
You know, which is fine. Like, you don't have to have one.
Well, but at the end of that movie, though, it's the awareness that is in
true.
It's the awareness.
Yeah. Because if you did have resolution, it would be a lie.
Right.
It
would be something that they just put a bow on it for.
It's like, hey, we're okay.
To add resolution to a film.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
Coming in at number three, talk about the big screen experience. We just experienced The Commuter, which came in with $14.5 million on its opening weekend.
Sellout when I saw it.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I was shocked. Yeah.
It's a big weekend action. I mean, if you want to see a big.
Yeah.
You
know,
but I don't have a budget on that one, so we'll get into that one next episode. Coming in at number four, Star Wars The Last Jedi, still hanging around. $14 million, a 41% drop. It is up to almost $600 million domestic now, and it is over $1.25 billion.
It's a failure.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one is probably going to turn a profit, so we'll have to watch it closely.
The quick little meme of, you know, the scene where the porgs are messing with the lightsaber and you think they're going to...
I love that.
Have you seen the meme where he turns it on?
No.
Yes. Somebody did like a digital redo of that scene where the porg actually turns the lightsaber on and cuts the other one in half and then quickly runs away.
Aww.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious when he was looking into the...
Yeah.
It's great. But so that one obviously doing quite well for itself. I know a lot of people I've seen recently, I guess maybe it's just people trying to make a case for something, but they're saying like, oh, it underperformed what they thought it would, you know, but it's still highly successful.
Yeah. No, when you make $1 billion, you don't underperform.
But I mean, like, The Force Awakens at this point had made more. So I think, you know, the people are trying to say, oh, it's not making what they...
Justice League underperformed.
Right.
Right.
That's underperforming.
Yeah.
Not that.
Yeah. So anyway, been doing very well for itself. Coming in at number five, The Greatest Showman, $13.7 million with a 1% drop.
That's an amazing
story.
That's
insane.
I mean, yeah, I remember, you know, so I saw it opening week.
Are you just seeing it on repeat? Are you just running from show to show?
Yeah, I wish. I wish I had time to. No. When it comes out on Blu-ray, my household...
Tom actually gave me that signed script.
Oh, he knew you'd appreciate it so much.
Well, he was setting his energy drink down.
Correct.
And it had a little bit of condensation on it.
Right.
And I was like,
I didn't want to ruin this table. So I just put it on top of that.
This table, I mean, I got this at Goodwill for like $45. And I was like, I don't want to do any damage to this.
I got
this
for free.
Go ahead and set it on this signed sheet music from The Greatest Showman.
So, but the first first week of release, so I went and saw the movie. You know, I loved it. I'm like, oh, I hope this does well. It had an 80-something million dollar budget, and it the first week had made back
like
or the,
nine.
20, yeah, like 10-20%, something like that. And I thought, oh, geez, like we're
swinging a miss.
Yeah, we're not going to get another one of these for a while. That sucks. And I mean, here we are in week four. And it has a 1% drop after like last week's 10% drop after the last week's 73% increase.
You,
I mean, that's doesn't
you don't see that anymore.
No, I don't think that's happened the entire time we've been doing the show.
I mean, it's a record breaking for sure. So $96 million domestically right now, $80 million overseas. So it is now 166 on an 84.
I would love to talk to the producers of this film
and say what
and find out what the mood was like.
That first week.
Like, at what point did they in the week did they realize that it was coming around?
Right.
Because because that never happens. Like, there's no way anybody could have realistically looked at each other and went, like, we'll get them in week two.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Especially with the competition.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, the holidays really helped it because families and big groups were looking for a movie to see. And after the first week, even though it didn't make a ton of money, everybody was talking about it and said, oh, you want to go see a good movie over the holidays? Go see The Greatest Showman. Yeah. And 5 weeks later, people are doing the same thing. So I'm, again, I mean, not to be a broken record, but I'm excited that it's doing well so we can get more original musicals.
Greatest Showman 2.
Well, I don't know about that, but
actually, it's funny. So Kevin Smith tells a really funny story about him looking at, like, the Zach and Miri opening weekends.
Right.
And he's like, I remember, like, the movie came out, and I remember my wife was sitting there with the paper, and she's like, he goes, all right, how much did it make? And he's like, and I watched her, and I watched her mouth, and she said, two, and he was like, 20? $20 million? Like, oh, that's great. And then she kept going, like, two. And he was like, we made $200 million on this movie. And then she just stopped at the two. And then it was down.
It's like made that, $2 million
opening weekend. That's Zach and Mir. And it
that title didn't do them any favors.
Well, that's the Weinsteins mucked that up.
Well,
like they had a Zach.
And they changed it to Zach and Mir.
They had a Seth Rogen comedy written by the guy who had written stoner comedies before Rogan was even doing stuff. Like they had a pedigree, and that movie's fantastic. That's
a great movie.
That might be one of his.
Are we talking about Zach and Miri?
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
Zach
really
and
Miri's
like Clerks 2 and Zach and Miri are probably the two my two.
They should have never titled it that. I mean, that just gave it a lot of bad publicity. Dumb. A lot of people not buying tickets. Whatever. I mean, Zach and Miri, and they couldn't catch it in time. No. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Dutch Rudder.
Yeah. No, double Dutch Rudder.
Muse with short hair.
Muse
so
with short
weird.
Hair and clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now I guess he has shorter hair, but that was the first time you really saw him. Yeah. Like, whoa, Muse. Yeah.
That's the first time you saw quite a bit of Jason. Yes,
oh, that's very true.
So true.
It's very true.
He says, and he's like, that wasn't me like up. That was me on the way down. Like, he was like behind the door.
Yeah, he prepared himself, right?
Did you ever hear Affleck's version
of that story?
No.
He was like Jason Muse is like, he was like, I think Affleck was like, were you like halfway hard? He's like, no, that's me halfway down.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And yeah. Affleck's like, that's the same thing.
So I think he took care of business a little too much behind the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was on the way down.
Oh, no.
That's from Kevin Smith. That's, you know, you figure if anybody's going to know that story, it's going to be that guy.
Yeah. So. Anyway, moving on. Number six, Paddington 2 with $12 million. And that is, this is the opening weekend for that one. I'm not sure if that one came out overseas already. I think it did.
That's their market.
Like that in England, Paddington is huge.
That's what I was thinking.
It makes all its money over there.
He's their Winnie the Pooh, right?
I mean, pretty much.
Basically. So $12 million over here on opening weekend. But yeah, it has $125 million
for
it.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a huge win. And it is the second movie in history to have over 100 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and maintain 100%.
Hmm. Wow.
Second movie in history.
I've heard the first one was adorable.
Yeah. I mean, the kid liked it.
But I mean, we're talking, I think it has 130 or 140 reviews right now on Rotten Tomatoes. 100%. I mean, it is.
Is this the same director as the first one, out of curiosity?
I think it is. This is director Paul King.
Okay.
He did Paddington and Paddington 2. So, I've heard nothing but good things about it. Brad Hyen actually wrote a written review for Review STL. So you can check that out if you're interested. I don't think we'll be covering that on the show, but heard it's quite delightful. Number seven, Proud Mary with $12.1 million.
Man, I didn't realize this was out.
So this is like Atomic Blonde with, is it? Taraji P.
Henson.
There we go.
Taraji. Wow. Well, is it done, P. Dan. Henson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about it, like, critically. I don't know. I mean,
I think
yeah.
she was a hitman, and then she's, like, brought back out of retirement, I think is kind of the premise of the movie.
But it's basically a John Wick, Atomic Blonde. Yeah, it's that kind of badass.
I was, the poster looked awesome.
That poster is amazing. It's, yeah. That I is mean, so great.
If they retain that sort of
70s vibe.
Yeah. That genre feel. Is it supposed to be a genre?
Is it like a 70s or is it modern?
I have no idea. All I know is like I when I saw the movie of the week, I saw this poster. I was like, is that out? Maybe I'll just see that and I'll just talk about that on my own.
Yeah. So it only has 30 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It is at 23%. So
I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes anyway.
But for especially a movie like that, if this is a kick-ass action movie, you know, I don't the little plot things they're tearing apart or whatever might not lessen your enjoyment.
No.
So yeah, I'm interested to check it out. So maybe we'll check it out this week and come back and someone will tell you how it is. Number 8, Insidious, The Last Key. So apparently they did not find the keys to the top of the box office.
They don't care. That movie cost them $5 million.
That's true. Well, no, it was a $10 million, I think, one. But it had a 59% drop in week 2. Still made $12 million, though. So you're right. On the budget, it's not a bad one. $48 million domestically. And let's see, $20 million overseas. So, you know, you're doing pretty well in, $10 million budget.
So if these rumors are to be true, Halloween has started production,
right?
And that'll be out this year.
I don't think they're rumors. They showed the. I mean,
Blumhouse just got the rights to Friday the 13th.
Hey, that's what he's talking about. Rumors.
Sorry,
Halloween's happening. That's gonna happen.
But started production. They sent out the picture.
No.
Like,
if Blumhouse,
but it was just Tom Hardy at a craft table.
First appearance of Michael Myers.
Yeah,
but just Mike Myers hanging out on the street corner.
But those are rumors.
It is a rumor. It is a rumor that Blum. I know that Blumhouse has been trying to get Friday the 13th.
He said
for
he's
a
wanted
long
to.
Time.
Yeah.
And if they get that, that's it.
If they have Halloween and Friday
Halloween,
the 13th.
Like, yeah. All they need now is Nightmare. And I don't, I mean, they could probably
crossover.
Oh, yeah. Like, then they did it.
Well, then the Nightmare.
But do a good one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The Nightmare remake did really badly, right? People didn't like it. I don't know if it made money, but
I think you made money on the name alone.
I don't think it was a success.
It's a shame because that was great casting.
Oh my god!
It got
better.
Like that was perfect casting.
I think what worked against them though is that they lost a lot of the fan base just by not
including him
having any association with Wes Craven.
Right.
Yeah. And it was like,
why couldn't Robert Englund?
He could have.
I mean, he wasn't. It's not like he can't. I'm just wondering. He's in makeup and stuff, so like, why not cast the?
I think
because
they wanted to start it over. They wanted a reboot.
Right.
They didn't want a sequel.
Right.
I got you.
I think because
like it would have kept it in the same.
And I think because that franchise has been so run off in the ditch as low end that they were like a sequel would just be another low end sequel.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to do something more high profile and be like, no, we're fixing it and bringing it back.
We're doing different people. And it's Jackie Earle Haley's coming in as.
Yeah. You know, it's ironic. I just realized when I saw that in theaters, I fell asleep during it.
Yeah.
I'm okay though. So.
Or did you?
Right. Yeah.
I saw
Rooney Mara is Nancy in that movie.
I mean, I just remember it being like for the part I saw, I didn't think it was terrible, but remember
that's the one from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, then that's what it was.
The
American, Right.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Right.
But so the new Nightmare on Elm Street 2010 did $63 million domestic, 52 foreign, so 115 on a 35. So you know it made a little bit of money, but not
enough to make another one.
Exactly.
Right. There hasn't been another one,
which tells you everything you need to know about a horror franchise.
Platinum Dunes had the rights to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that one. Friday the 13th. They had like all of the big shots,
and oddly enough, The English Patient,
which is weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was an interesting choice that Michael Bay made,
right?
But they, the only one they did sequels to was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They didn't do a sequel to the Friday the 13th. They didn't do a sequel to The Nightmare.
Yeah.
But
you know
now,
who the narrator is in the original?
John Larroquette.
John Larroquette.
That's right.
Well, I was just thinking they're making The Predator.
Directed by Shane Black.
Written and directed by Shane Black. So
he
be
wrote the first one.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He's in it.
Yeah. he has the best joke of the whole movie.
Yeah. He's also like the least likely to be in that ragtag group.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
Why'd you say it twice? I didn't.
That's cool they brought him back, though. I mean, yeah.
That's why it's a ragtag group.
Yeah.
You got to have one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So he's like the,
but yeah,
the,
so
he's like
if,
the face.
If they, he is like the face. If they get, I have a feeling they will destroy a Friday the 13th movie in a good way. Like, they'll be like, here's $10 million, go.
And so it doesn't like, take much.
It doesn't take. That's the problem that Hollywood had, is like they were dropping big money on these movies. Like, for the reason that franchise stayed so successful is because they were costing $6 million, $10 right. million. Dollars. They yeah. weren't going crazy. And then the big studios.
But also, I mean, Friday the 13th is, I mean, you don't have to, you just have to be kind of okay. Like,
yeah.
They're not great.
Yeah.
They just kept going.
They just
and
kept
people
going.
People kept seeing them.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, you know, at they a certain tail, point, the like, word would get, pre-internet, like, the word would still get out on
true.
This camp.
Yes, that's correct.
Like,
stop going.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not going to go.
You know
that.
What?
No more.
I'm going to just do juvie. I'm going to just get myself in trouble and not
so I don't have to go to camp. Camp Blood. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to go to Camp Blood.
No. Coming in at number 9, Darkest Hour with $5.6 million, which is a 7% drop. It is now at $36.8 million. And Gary Oldman got the Golden Globe
yeah.
for his performance, so which was interesting because did you see what he wrote about the Hollywood Foreign Press prior to winning the Golden Globe?
No.
Just saying, like, they're an effing joke, and it's just a bunch of, you know, people jerking each other off. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically came out and said, like, who cares about them? And then he actually came up and gave a nice speech, so I was like, whoa, interesting.
I did, like, so obviously the talk of the Golden Globes was that Mark Wahlberg got paid $1.5 million for his reshoots, and then Michelle Williams got paid $1,000 for her reshoots. I thought it was somebody posted. They're just like, and then so fast forward to like yesterday, Mark Wahlberg says he donated his the 1.5 to the Me Too fund.
To the Please Stop Yelling at Me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Somebody said that's go like away. When you steal $20 from your mom's purse and you donate it to like the school charity so your mom can't be mad at you for stealing the $20.
Right.
Like, that's exactly yeah. how that felt. Where he's just like, what? I don't really have much of a choice.
He was in a crappy position.
He
like,
was in an awful position.
I just have to say, I'm just putting this out there because that situation makes me so frustrated. Last time I checked, Mark Wahlberg
because
and Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams should be paid less?
Last time I checked, Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Williams are not business partners. So regardless of what Michelle Williams decides to take for a film, Mark Wahlberg went and did extra work above and beyond his contract. He got paid for work instead of doing free work. Yeah. He doesn't decide what she makes. She decided to do it for free. Their agents are the only ones responsible of anyone, but Mark Wahlberg is not a jerk for not immediately donating $1.5 million. He got paid to do work.
He opens a movie and she doesn't.
Well,
yeah. She's the better actor.
She is by and far
but
the better
he opens
actor.
A movie and she doesn't.
But I'm not
but,
even going there. Yeah. I get what you're saying and I might even agree,
well,
but my point is it's like it's no one's damn business what
it,
he gets paid.
It also sounds like, and because I think the real story here and the real thing you should be mad at Mark Wahlberg for, besides Transformers,
oh, I'm yeah.
Transformer.
Is the fact that he was like, unless you pay me this, I won't approve replacing Kevin Spacey in this movie.
Agreed.
Like
that should be the problem.
That's the real sleaze move. Because
yes.
honestly,
yes.
I think from what I've read, I mean, obviously all I know is what I've read.
Right.
Is I think the mistake falls to Michelle Williams ultimately. I think because she's a good person. She got taken advantage of. It sounds,
yeah.
from what I've
yeah.
read, it sounds like when they were like, we're going to replace Kevin Spacey and we need you for reshoots, she was like,
let's do it.
Hell yeah,
yeah.
I'm
right.
in, when and where.
Right.
She
right.
didn't even think about money.
Right.
And I think what it comes down to is Mark Wahlberg thinks about money and Michelle Williams
thinks
doesn't
about
think about money.
But
right.
why
it,
should he have to work for free? I'm just saying to defend his actions. You know, why should
I mean,
he have to go?
Everybody's free to negotiate the way yeah. they negotiate
during
that's just
Thanksgiving
the way
for 8 days to go take your time
yeah.
and
but
travel.
Also,
you know,
when,
the thing I haven't heard anybody point out in all this, in terms of Mark Wahlberg, you know, basically saying I need $1 million if you want me to go do this, is that they were making reshoots. Mark Wahlberg is he can open a movie. He's
yeah.
a, he's
yeah.
an A-list
he's a
actor,
star.
Right? If he sets a precedent of going back to do reshoots for free. Every movie that follows
right.
is going to say, well, you did it for the last
right.
one.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
you can't
it,
do that.
It is a dangerous precedent for, even though this seems like this is a noble thing that they're doing and they should, you know, and all that. Yeah, I get it.
Hollywood isn't built on nobility.
Hell right. No.
It's built on the other side.
Business.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, right or wrong, it's like.
They're also doing it. I mean, let's take all the smoke and mirrors away. Yes, the Me Too stuff and all that's noble. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. The studio's also doing it to save their asses. The studio's doing it to make more money. Mark Wahlberg deserves to get paid for his work.
Yeah.
He deserves to get paid $1 million so the studio can make another $50 million or 20 to save its ass. Like, this isn't a charity.
Well, and if Ridley Scott comes to the table and says, this is what I'd like to do, he's not going to say, and I will cover everything.
No, right.
You know, he's not going to volunteer the money. He's going to be like, okay. You know, and the executives are there too, and they say, well, I write this down on a piece of paper and hand it back to you. And then, you know, Michelle Williams writes this down. That's just.
I mean, Michelle Williams could have said, done the same thing.
She could have.
But I think.
She did.
Well, no.
But I think her.
But she can't because, I mean, the flip side of that is that, you know, she's in a position where systematically and historically she can't.
But I mean, like. But I think, real quick,
has anybody seen the movie?
No. Yeah.
Okay. How big is her part? I honestly don't know.
Pretty big.
Okay, so like.
Yeah, they couldn't do it without her.
Okay, I honestly did not know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She's like, the star. I mean, she is amazing.
She could say.
The same thing if like, this happened in Manchester by the Sea. It'd be like, well,
yeah.
I mean, you can't recast her.
She's the main character.
Yeah, but she's also in like two scenes.
Right.
I was trying to figure out how much shooting would involve her.
Michelle Williams is the main character. Mark Wahlberg and Christopher Plummer supporting. This is Michelle Williams' movie. She's the star of the movie.
And I will say, I did not know.
Like,
right.
You don't see Mark
that.
Wahlberg for 30, 40 minutes in the movie.
So, okay.
He tags along and is there till the end. But like, it's Michelle Williams.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So she has the ability to say, I'm not coming back until you get like.
But professionally, Wahlberg will be okay. She probably did feel like she couldn't have because you don't burn those bridges as she wants.
And,
you
know? And I also think she's coming from a more noble
position. I do. I think
Mark Wahlberg is the guy
at the end
who's
of the,
business guy.
I think at the end of the day, she got kind of taken advantage of because she's a better person.
Yeah.
And they let her.
Yeah.
Right.
And I also
but
think.
But it's not Mark Wahlberg's fault.
It's not. No. But I also.
But that's what. It's just easier to look at that.
Yeah. But that's. Everyone's blaming. What a jerk. This guy. Not both. It's like.
You know, and he'll still be okay.
And here's. Yeah. But here's the other end of this issue is that Michelle Williams' career is not at a point where she can play a game of chicken with them and let a movie like this sit on the shelf.
Right.
His is.
Sure.
Yeah.
If this movie never comes out, doesn't change his life one bit.
No. Yeah.
If this movie doesn't come out for her, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like she needs this movie out there
to have. Well, especially now.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of.
Yeah. And I agree. I think she did the more noble thing. I think she did the right thing. I don't think Mark Wahlberg did the wrong thing. I hate that they're correlated together. And I also hate that they're turning this into a gender equality thing.
Yeah.
That the gender equality has nothing to do with it. Michelle Williams says, I'm going to do this for free. Okay. Mark Wahlberg says, I'll do it for $1 million. Okay. He gets paid 1,000 times. They're totally independent. The studio didn't go, here, Mark Wahlberg, we'll offer you $1 million and you 10th. It didn't work like that.
I think here's ultimately the nuance of it is that Mark Wahlberg didn't do anything wrong, but Michelle Williams did something right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
That's exactly what it is. Like
that's the difference.
But also when you come out and say, I have to give you final approval to.
Well, clearly it's in his contract.
No. That's fine. But I mean, like, the fact that he would even balk at the idea of replacing Kevin Spacey.
And that's what
like,
I was getting.
There's the sleazy part.
And that's what I was getting at the beginning. Beyond the money, that to me, that's the more offensive notion.
Really
that he was prepared to say, no, leave Kevin Spacey.
Well, I also don't think like we're going to walk away from this thinking that Mark Wahlberg has artistic integrity versus Michelle Williams. It's like, okay, from an artistic integrity standpoint, obviously she has more.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And I also think, like, yes, that does sound crap.
Again, he was in those Transformers movies. Yeah.
It sounds crappy on paper what you're saying, and I get that it's like, but I think what he was saying is a different way of saying that I'm not doing these reshoots unless you pay me. I'm not doing them for free. He used that because it's in his contract, but it's not like, I don't think he was coming from a place of like, I don't care about Kevin Spacey being replaced. He wasn't doing it like.
Then you don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was how he negotiated. It's in his contract. I mean, that's how he got paid.
Okay, but when. The person that you're
were
using.
Were you there? I don't know.
But
that
here's the thing.
This
is what
hearsay.
I'm saying, though. Is what I'm saying is like, if you are.
No, but
if
this
you
is
are
hearsay.
If you are defending, if you're saying you won't do reshoots, because the guy that was the other main character of this movie is in the press of assaulting underage boys. It doesn't matter if it's like there has to be a line, whether it's in your contract or not, that you will not cross. And to me, when you are assaulting, I won't say children, but underage boys, I don't like if it's in your contract or not. That is not the cross to hang on.
Like, could just not release the movie too, I guess
they could. Those actors are going to get paid either way.
Basically, I don't think it was Wahlberg going, "Hey, Ridley." No. It was his lawyer saying, "This is in the contract. If he doesn't get paid, he's not." I mean, it was just negotiated.
I will say there's so many different separate issues that are just sort of like colliding at the same time, and everybody's trying to figure out a way to, you know, make it a black and white thing.
Yeah.
And I mean that literally, like black or white.
Not racial.
But, you know, or a good bad. And it's like, there's just a lot of layers of things happening at the same time.
I also think there's a very good possibility that what happened was Wahlberg probably wasn't involved at all.
That's what I'm saying.
I could see a situation where they call his agent, and then his agent calls him and says, "Hey, they need you for another 8 days. It's $1 million." Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't there either, but I'm guessing the agent went, "We're not going to approve this unless you pay him for his work." And that was it. And it's just really exploding. So I don't know. It's just very frustrating to see people, now that he's donated, go, "Oh, now you did it once everyone called." It's like, come on. So you're going to give him crap. And now you're going to say, "Oh, you're just doing it." But it's like, how do you win in this?
Well, there is never any winning with the internet.
I don't think Mark Wahlberg really gives a crap if he wins or not. He's going to go back to his $1 million mansion and hang out with his hot wife and not even worry about it.
Yeah, that's silly.
Fine.
Exactly. So, it's not hurting anyone. So anyway, just hopefully that dies down after all this, because it's so stupid to see this back and forth. But right now, wrapping up the top 10, it is Pitch Perfect 3, Joe's favorite film of 18, I believe.
Yep, so far.
$5.6 million is a 46% drop.
It's a low bar.
$95 million domestic, $54 overseas. So that's $150 million on a 45. Triple
still
its budget.
Underperforming.
Yeah.
Very underwhelming for the franchise and what it's done previously. But triple the budget in a few weeks. It didn't crash
more
and burn.
Concerned about,
they're making money, but it's not doing what they hoped.
That's fine, because this is just going to fill in that third slot in the box.
The box set.
So they're thinking in terms of like,
And straight to video probably straight next to video, time.
They'll have a whole new.
It'll be a next generation.
The new Bellas. Is Haley, what's her name in this movie?
I don't know. I would presume so.
Okay.
Because they set her up as the star of the last one. And then they're like, "Oh, crap, we might need some of these other people that people actually care about." So that's the box office.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We can go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
And this is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerCubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com, or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Ooh. So that's it for this episode. Coming up next time, we will tackle The Commuter.
Patrick Wilson, The Commuter.
Sure.
Vera Farmiga.
Let's call it that. Yeah. So until then, you've been warned.
Very good. Oh, monocle in the left eye. It's Transylvania.
Sorry.
Yes, perfect. Liam Neeson, count to 20. Transylvania 6,000.
Forget about it.
In one take. One, roll 'em.
Action.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I quit.
Cut.
How was that?
That was splendid. That was superb. What counting? What?
Thank you.
Yes, it almost rained. Perfect. Let's do it again.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.